And I'll give you some activity during the service, during the month of July here. Would invite you to avail yourself of that. There's no outline in your bulletin today. If you're looking for that, it's not there. Instead, what I'd invite you to do is take your Bible or the pew Bible in front of you and turn to Psalm chapter 27. That's where we're going to be in its entirety today. So you won't have to flip around much. Please turn to Psalm 27. Now I want to ask you this question here at the beginning today. If you could have one thing guaranteed from the Lord, what would it be? If you could have one thing guaranteed from the Lord, what would it be? What would you ask for? I give you today King David, the author of Psalm 27. This psalm I have chosen to be the theme of my life these next 10 weeks. I am in the process of memorizing it. I'm about halfway through. Really speaks to my heart. I desire for it to kind of captivate my soul with glimmers of renewed hope and peace and perspective on both the joys and the trials of life. And I really think that if there is a psalm that shows us why David was a man after God's own heart, along with David's psalm of confession in Psalm 51, I think it would be Psalm 27. And it begins, as it should, with the Lord. Take a look at it. What's the first three words? The Lord is. The Lord is, it says, my light. The Lord is my light. I love that. You know, light, what it does, don't you? It reveals. It reveals. It illuminates what was unseen in the dark, doesn't it? Without light, you can't see what's there. But beyond that, it gives color and beauty, doesn't it? Because of light, you see color. You see beauty. Without light, everything is kind of gray and colorless. I'm reminded, one day a few years ago, I was sitting in a tree stand about 5:30 in the morning, and it was dark. You know, you could see just dull hues of gray and black and brown. That's all you could see. And then the sun started to come up, and it hit the tops of those trees. It was fall of the year. I was bow hunting. And it was just like someone, like God poured a ladle of pure gold down through the branches of the trees. It just became brilliant with color as the light just made its way down. It's one of those things, bow hunting, that you don't even have to see a deer that day. It's just a glorious, glorious thing. But I thought about light. I even wrote about that later on. Everything's gray and colorless without it. The Lord is my light. He reveals. He brings beauty and color, doesn't he? Next it says, my light and my salvation. Salvation. I asked myself, as I was meditating on Psalm 27, what's the opposite of salvation? Many people would say, well, it's to be lost. You know, you're saved or you're lost. But as I was thinking about that, I thought about when we save something. You know, when we save something for later. When you go to a restaurant and you take what you didn't eat home with you, you know, if you really liked it. We went to Meats, and how many of you ever been to Meats in Lansing? Oh, we didn't take anything home, let me tell you. We ate it there, but so good. But, you know, you eat that and you get full, so you throw it in a doggy bag or whatever and you save it for later. And if you didn't do that, it'd be thrown away as worthless, wouldn't it? Garbage. And perhaps that's a pretty good picture for us. The opposite of saved is kind of to be thrown away as worthless. We all need Christ, don't we? Everybody does. You need his salvation, because without him, no matter how much fun you have, no matter how much money you make, no matter how good you become in and of yourself, it'll all be thrown away as worthless in the end. Indeed, it is worthless without him, because he is before all things. He is what it's all about. He's what you're about, I'm about. Whether we understand and believe that or not, he is before all things. He's what your life's about. The Lord is my salvation. I love the next part. It says the Lord is what? Second part of verse 1. You see it? The stronghold of my life, yeah. A stronghold was a safe place, a defensible place, you know, against enemies. It was a place of security and confidence. That's what you realize, and therefore that is how you begin to feel when you walk closely and intimately with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, focused on His grace and truth to you and through you. You feel confident and safe because He is your stronghold, and nothing that happens to you in this life can happen to you without His permission. And I am hoping and praying and seeking in the Lord to have that confidence and security well up within me, being restored to me and in me over the next few weeks. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. That's what David wrote. And because the Lord is, he says, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, I can rest. You can rest in life or in death because the Lord is. And this, you do not realize and you do not have this unshakable confidence, this sense of security without intimacy with God. Only in His presence do you walk through life like this. Verse 1 describes, the Lord is, therefore, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? And what's the answer to that question? No one. Therefore, when you get to verse 2, David speaks, listen to this, this is amazing. He speaks of evil men, he speaks of enemies and foes, he speaks of armies, and he speaks of wars in verses 2 and 3. Those are all the things that you and I would fear the most externally right now, aren't they? I mean, we got plenty of all those. Evil men, enemies, armies, and wars about us in this world. And even in our own country right now. I think of Jesus' words, wars, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Could that describe our day? It almost could probably describe any day in human history, but I think it definitely certainly describes this one. David writes, when evil men advance against me, when my enemies and my foes attack me, he says, they will stumble and fall. They're going to stumble and fall. Why is that, David? Because the Lord is. He goes on to say, though armies besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though wars break out around me, even then will I be what, church? Confident. Man, where do you get that kind of confidence, David? Because the Lord is. And that confidence is produced in a life that spends itself in and with the Lord. That confidence is it's a supernatural effect. You know what I'm saying? It really is a supernatural effect. That confidence and the rejoicing in the midst of trouble that we talked about last week is evidence that brings glory to God. Confidence and rejoicing, no matter what's going on. Most people are not confident amongst evil men, enemies, armies, and wars. Most people are not. But the Lord is. Therefore. In verse 4 is the title of our message today. One thing. One thing. David writes, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. And this is the basis of my question. I repeat my opening question. If you could have one thing guaranteed from the Lord, what would it be? If you could make one request of God, what would you ask Him for? Here's what David wanted. Here's what he asked for. I love this. This is the heart I want to have. One thing I'm asking God, that I may what? Dwell. To abide. To live this life with the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. See, David wanted to be near God. And he wanted to walk near to Him every day, he said, all the days of my life. David wanted, in modern vernacular, to do life with God. I think David knew some things about God that maybe you and I have yet to discover, maybe we don't know, and I think that most people don't know. He knew a beauty and an infinite, transformingly powerful depth in God that made him want more of that same. A depth that few people take the time in solitude and in prayer and in meditation and in contemplation, few invest themselves to discover. David asked for one thing, and it was to dwell with God. The word there in the Hebrew is yashab, and it means to sit down. To sit down, especially in ambush or in quiet. See, there's a quietness here, but there's also a sense of anticipation. By implication, to dwell, to remain, to settle, to marry, to abide, to continue. See, David wanted to be able to sit down and be with and spend time with God. He wanted to use his mind to connect. Think of it this way, to connect the spiritual, those other dimensions that we can't sense, the spiritual where Jesus said God is spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He wanted to connect the spiritual reality with his spirit. And he goes and he parts it out in two ways. He says, there's one thing I want, to dwell. And then he goes on to say, here's how that's going to happen. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, number one, and to seek him in his temple. To gaze and to seek. That's kind of how he defined what it meant to dwell. To gaze and to seek. To gaze upon the beauty. That's just to enjoy what you see there. You know what I'm saying? It's like looking at the Grand Canyon for the first time. You know, this week I began to seek God more in earnest than I have been. And one morning, I'll put it this way, I accessed a place in God that I haven't been to in a while. It was a place, a place of peace, a place of rest, a place where the cares of life are kind of like water on a duck's back. I was sitting out here at the back patio. I was reading and praying and meditating kind of all at the same time. And it was like all my senses after probably an hour and a half or so, they were like heightened is the only way I can describe it. My senses were heightened. I heard the water from my fountain behind me so clearly, so like music it was. And in front of me, we got these knockout roses and lilies and stuff that were in bloom. And I saw the flowers. Their colors seemed more vivid to me. And I watched the bees, you know, buzzing around. I saw them glorifying their maker and what they did. And the sun, you know, the early morning sun, just dapples of light on the lawn there mixed with shadow. It was like I was seeing these things differently. Heightened, vivid. And the Lord was like right there with me in that time. It was one of those times where you're just in the presence of God. And you know, perhaps when we slow down, which I have a hard time doing, to turn down the noise, And we really hear the still small voice of God. It's a voice not at all like the world in which we live. Amen? The voice of God is not at all like that. It's a voice that refuses to clamor for our attention. God's voice does not clamor for our attention. He doesn't compete. And perhaps I heard and I saw and I felt differently because at last I took the time to hear and to see and to feel at all. Because I really think that sometimes with all the noise, we're just not hearing, seeing, or feeling, period. And when we connect with God in spirit, I think in those times we actually do hear, see, and feel. When before, we were just kind of running around numb to it all. You know what I mean? All I know is like David in Psalm 27, it is a place that I wouldn't like to visit again. No, I want to go there to stay. I want to dwell there all the days of my life. If I could, with every conversation, every interaction, every small group, believer or unbeliever, whatever, whoever I'm relating with at the time, if I could be in that place with the Lord during that interaction. You know how sometimes when people are on the scene, you kind of forget God, you know what I'm saying? Because you're always kind of involved with, gosh, how am I appearing here? How am I doing here? Should I say this? Should I not say? You know, and if I could just dwell in that place, go there to stay, to live life in the presence of the Lord with my spirit intimately connected to His, the Spirit of God. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze and to seek, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and next to seek Him, to seek Him. That's different than gaze. You know what I'm saying? To gaze, you're just enjoying what you're looking at. But to seek Him, not only is God most beautiful, but there is more to Him than what you understand, more to Him than what you're even seeing. There's more to discover. There's more beauty to behold. There's more depths to plumb. The word for seek is bakash, and it means to search out by any method, but especially in worship and prayer. In worship and prayer. By implication, there's an element of striving after in this. Ask, beg, beseech, desire, inquire. David wants more of God. John Piper says that God is most glorified in us as we are most satisfied in Him. Have you ever heard that phrase? That's kind of the theme of his Desiring God ministry. Let me say that again. God is most glorified in us as we are most satisfied in Him. Now, if the glory of God is truly based, if your glorifying God is truly based on your satisfaction in Him, then how glorified is He in your life? How glorified is He in your life? Does God hold that place of ultimate yearning and satisfaction with you? If He does, you won't want to stop there. You will want more. It's kind of like Moses. What if God came to you? What if God came to you and He said this, I will do the very thing you've asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. What if He came to you and said that? I'll do what you ask because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Wow. God is pleased with you. He's going to do everything I ask Him to do. That's awesome sauce right there. Okay, let's see. I want a fishing boat. I want a truck to haul it with. I want a different job. I want more money than I got right now. I want a new house. I want people to love me unconditionally. What would be on your list? Those words that I just read there, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Those are the words that God spoke to Moses in Exodus 33 and 17. God just told him He'd give him whatever. And the next verse, Moses tells God what he wants above anything else. Verse 18, Moses says this, show me your glory. Isn't that amazing? Show me your glory. That's what I want. Let me paraphrase that. God, I have seen you. I have seen you do amazing things, God. I want to see you more. You are what I want. Show me your glory. That's the word seek, to seek Him in His temple. See, in wanting God, not the world, Moses gave God the glory due His name. That's what John Piper's talking about. God is most glorified in us as we are most satisfied in Him. And Moses was so satisfied in God that God could risk saying, I give you what you ask. And he said, okay, show me your glory. How glorified is God in your and my life? You know, there's one thing for sure over the next few weeks of my life. I am going to Yeshab. I'm going to sit down and dwell and ask the Lord a whole lot of questions. Questions about Him. Questions about me. Questions about this church. Questions about ministry in general. Questions about leadership. Questions about my future. I'm going to take my time and ask God a whole lot of questions. But even more important than that, I want to gaze upon His beauty. And I'm going to seek Him. And I want to work hard at that. And I think this is where the work of seeking God comes in. Because it is not an easy thing to eliminate the noise of the insignificant. It is not an easy thing to harness the flesh and to say no to that spoiled brat little child that lives for himself that's in each of us. That's why it's hard to seek God. So that the Spirit can bubble to the surface and begin to breathe. You know, sometimes the most unique and important aspect of us, well, maybe I should ask you, what is the most unique and important aspect of you as a human being? How would you answer that? You know how I'd answer it? I would say your spirit, right next to your mind. Your mind is probably the most amazing thing about a human being that connects in this physical world, but you are a spiritual being. I don't even 100% understand what all that means, because the spiritual realm, God is spirit, and I can't see, taste, touch, feel, hear that yet. But I think it's your spirit, and that spirit gets buried beneath a sea of physical desires and problems and worldly noise. And man, I want that to breathe again. And I want that to breathe again in you too. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek Him in His temple. Amen. That's all the further we're going to get today in Psalm 27. So, I just want to thank you all for loving me in spite of me. And now let's go to the Lord's temple and commune with Him some more today. Amen. If you'll come.